good morning. Good morning. Good morning. As you're finding your seat, hey, I am just really excited that you're here this morning, and also want to take a moment to introduce our speaker this morning. Jim and Rhonda Desmond have been kind of part of Genesis Church for about 18 months, and in the process of coming here and really over the course of Jim's life, God has been calling him to be more involved in ministry. So starting this week, Jim is officially our church planting resident. He has been approved to be a church planter with Converge, our association of churches. So for a year, he's going to be kind of what we call a resident, working at Genesis, largely in our Boyne City congregation, kind of developing his skills, helping establish that church. He's starting up a Bible study in the Charlevoix area. We're just giving him lots of opportunities to kind of hone his skills and for God to continue to prepare him to plant a church. We are a church that likes to start churches, and so we're looking at different communities in our area where God might want us to begin a work and start something. So we're grateful to have Jim here and Jim and Rhonda. So I was jotting a note that you are a church planting resident, and I wanted to abbreviate it, so it came up, and he'll be doing this for a year. It came up CPR.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I thought, this is Jim is going to come and give us some CPR this morning.
Give I
us
might some... need CPR after today.
No. He's going to give us some life for our soul. So thank you, Jim.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you all. Welcome all. CPR. Interesting. Well, here we are on the last weekend of the summer, the last official weekend of the summer, right? And what an amazing, amazing weekend that our Lord God Almighty has given us. Gorgeous day. So I have a question for y'all. How many of you feel that the summer went too fast? Show of hands. Okay, now, how many of you feel like you accomplished all that you wanted to this summer? Not too, a couple of good hands. Well done, well done. Most of us not, right? It goes so fast, right? And then, you know, I can remember when I was a kid, summer seemed like an eternity. It seemed to just go on forever and ever. And I never thought about it ending. As it got closer to the summer and seeing that school would finish, it's like, summer's coming. And all that I thought about was all the possibilities. Right? It's playing baseball, going camping, fording creeks, catching frogs, spending the nights catching fireflies, looking at the stars, campfires, just all the fun that summer had to bring. Hot dogs, barbecues, corn on the cob, watermelon. There was an innocence, and it just seemed like it would last forever. But as we get a little older and we start to get involved in other things, I know that I got involved with sports, so there was a football camp that would start like 3 weeks before school. So suddenly, my summer got a little shorter. And even though it was fun, I had some responsibility there. College boards came. So I'm studying for college boards, and summer got a little bit shorter. And a little later on, I'm applying for colleges. And so those applications, they take a long time. And I'm looking out saying, gosh, I really want to be outside, but no. Here I am. And summer got a little shorter. And soon a job turned that 3 months of summer into 3 weeks. And really, it only became 2 weeks because you wanted to save a week for the holidays. So it became 2 weeks. And then a little before long, I'm planning a wedding, getting married. For some of you, you have a child. That child all of a sudden becomes 5 years old, 10 years old, and you're spending your summers driving your child from spot to spot and adventure to adventure. And for an instant, you get to see that eternity through your child's eye. But it's fleeting. Life picks up speed then. And before you know it, your kids, they're grown and they're getting married and they're having kids. And life is filled with appointments and struggles and illnesses and deadlines and goals. And if you're truly blessed, you get an opportunity to see some grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren. And then we become feeble. And then what? Shakespeare, through one of his more famous characters, Macbeth, sums it all up like this. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day, the last syllable of recorded time. And all of our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Well, Jim, thanks for that depressing view of life. Boy, that's so encouraging, right? If you're new to with us today, we're doing a series that we've been doing for a while. It's called Orthodoxy, and we're diving into our core beliefs as Genesis Church and what the Bible says about them. Some of the topics have been the Bible, the Holy Spirit, Trinity, who Jesus is, Almighty God. And if you haven't been to those, I would encourage you to go back to the website and look at those and view them. They're really powerful and informative. But today, we're going to dispel Macbeth's perception of life with the help of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to talk about eternity. Dum, dum, dum. So please, if you would turn with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll give you a little background while you turn there. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul is writing this letter to Corinth and the church in Corinth, and they're going through a time of struggle. They're new believers, and they're facing a lot of persecution from society and culture. And some are trying to bring the culture into their belief and into what they're supposed to do in following Christ. And so there's this struggle, and there's a little bit of infighting within, and it's painful, right? I mean, you have brothers and sisters that you love and care about that you're arguing with, and people that, family members maybe, that don't believe in Christ that you're losing. It's a difficult time for them. And so he writes this letter to them, and we're going to start in chapter 16. So if you follow along with me, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things not seen are eternal. So, do we just have an hour upon a stage? Or is Paul correct? Is there really eternity? Well, the good news is the Bible tells us yes. Some examples of scripture, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? But have eternal life. John 11:26, in quoting Jesus, says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Sometimes die? Never die. When Jesus is on the cross, suffering, taking upon our sin, there's a thief next to him that says, Jesus calls out to him, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. 1 John 2:17 says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever. It's clear there's eternity. The Bible also tells us that we will stand before a holy God. John 5:28 says, "Do not be amazed, for the time is coming when all who are in graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Revelations 20:11 says, "We will stand before a holy God. The books of our lives will be opened. We will be judged according to our deeds. Anyone who is not found in the book of life will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire." And 2 Thessalonians says, "Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Sobering, right? Good news, eternity. Bad news could be sobering. How will you spend eternity? Well, how we live our lives is important. It's kind of hard to picture eternity, isn't it? I mean, eternity is this vast thing, time and space. But I want you to picture your life. Just look at your life first. And imagine your life as this radar screen. And you think about all the troubles that you've had in your life. And some of those troubles, seem, when you're involved with them, who knows what they are, they might be an injury, or a sickness, or a death in the family, or your first love, a broken heart. When you're in the midst of that struggle, it seems like forever, right? You don't know how you're going to survive this moment. And as you look back in your life, we have this radar screen with this screen going around. This little indicator going around, going around, going around, and blip, going around, going around. And that little blip, when you look back, was that thing that seemed so insurmountable sometimes. And in the moment, we were so caught up in it. Well, eternity is the same way. Think of a bigger screen, as big as this whole room. And it's going around and going around and going around and going around forever and ever, and keeps going and going. That's our life in comparison to eternity. Yet so many times we're so focused on just our life and we don't think about an eternal focus. It's hard. So much of the time we worry, we have strife. But it's the here and now is such a small part of our true existence. Paul assures us, he says that the struggles, although they decay our bodies, it restores and renews our souls, preparing us for eternity. Not just preparing, but producing an eternal weight of glory. So all those struggles that we have in life, they're preparing us and they are producing a full weight of glory. In the Greek, it's called abundance upon abundance. It's bringing us back to our innocence in a way. You know, in doing this, it reminded me of a gentleman that I knew in Wilmington, and a gentle saint in his 80s, and he struggled a lot. He suffered. He lost his wife of 67 years. But when that happened, he knew that she had an eternal life. And he was joyful. Although sad, he was joyful in a way. Because he knew that she would be with our Father. And he would chase me down at church all the time with his cane. He'd chase me down. He'd make it a point to come up to me and say, Jim, I pray for you every morning. Why me? He would shake my hand and look into my eyes, soft, beautiful eyes, and say, I pray for you every morning. And there's a sense of patience and kindness within this man. And you just know that over the years and over the struggles that he's had in life, that God has been working on him because he has been turning to God. He has had an eternal focus. And it reminded me that I don't have an eternal focus. Here's somebody that I know, but he's praying for me every day. And I don't even pray for my own struggles sometimes. What a great reminder that as we go through life, we are becoming more patient, more wise, as long as we're clinging to Christ. Momentary, Paul talks about, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight. Momentary light affliction? You're probably saying, Jim, you know, my struggles are not momentary and they are not light. Who is he to call a momentary and light? And you're right, they're not momentary and light. When we're involved with them, it's hard. But let's analyze Paul's afflictions. Five times he was flogged with a whip. Five times. 39 lashes, 13 across his chest, 26 across his back. Three times, he was beaten with rods. People made a circle around him, picked up stones, some the size of baseballs, and threw them at him and stoned him to the point of he crumbling in a pile and being left for dead. Three times he was shipwrecked. We're not talking about a cruise ship that got stuck on a sandbar with lifeboats and GPS. We're talking about ships that got destroyed on rocks. He spent a night and a day out at sea in the open water. He had danger from bandits, rivers, countrymen, false brothers, went without food, sleep, and sometimes was left naked and homeless. Here's the thing. He would do it all again. And the thing is that when we get to eternity, if you are someone that believes that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you put your faith in him, you are going to eternity. And when you get there and you see the glory and the amazement of it, you would look back at your life and you would do it 100 times over the same way, knowing what that experience is. But it's hard. But be encouraged. My wife was talking to me about, you know, many times when we're encouraging people and we say, you know, God knew you before you were born. He knitted you together in your mother's womb, and he knows you now. So we think in terms of him knowing us eternally, that we are internally a being from then to now, but rarely do we talk about we're going to be with him at the end of our lives. You can live your life with an eternal focus today. Focus not what is now, but what is to come. God knows you. You've been made in his image, and you have been given everything you need to do this. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about a time for everything. There's a song that's been done of it. A time for joy, a time for pain, a time for sorrow, a time for mourning. But what's beautiful about that is that it says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. Your life is beautiful in its time. The struggles that you face are beautiful in its time. Because what it is doing, it is creating, it is developing you, and it is piling on you abundance upon abundance. Not only for eternity, but even now. We handle things differently now in life as you're older than you did the first time through them, don't we? That's God working in us, giving us patience, giving us understanding, helping us to focus. We'll get through this. God is with us. 2 Peter says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. He's with you. So what are some of the things that we can practically do, some of the ways that we can practically have an eternal focus? I'm going to give you 7 things. 1, don't worry about things. Easy to say, right? I'm not saying don't be concerned. Okay, we're going to be concerned. Things like worldly things, like politics and the condition of our world and finances. And yes, you're going to be concerned, but don't fret about it. God, we know that God prevails. He wins. Pray for others. Give people the gospel hope. If you are somebody that believes in Christ, give others that believe. Give them that gospel hope so that they can be in eternity with you. Meditate on scripture that talks about Jesus' return. See people not with judgment, but see them as if they were made in the image of God, because they were. See them, try to see them as God sees them. We're so quick sometimes to just make judgment of people. But we don't know their struggle. We don't know their afflictions. Have heart. Be gentle with people. Know that they may be in eternity with you. Help them get there. Forgive completely those that have hurt you. We're called to do that. Forgive them just as you've been forgiven. In times of trouble, recognize that God is with you. He's with you in that situation, and ask, God, what are you teaching me in this moment? I know you are sovereign over all. What are you teaching me in this time? Sometimes it's very hard to do it alone. We need brothers and sisters in Christ to help us, and it's even harder without the hope of Christ. So if you're somebody that has not accepted Christ into your life, has not made that choice, I would encourage you to do that today. To know that you need God, you need Jesus to help you through. That He has taken all of your sins upon Himself so that you could reach eternity. So accept Him into your life today. And if you need prayer for that, there'll be some people up here at the end that will be happy to pray for you. You know, it's hard to do alone sometimes. We have God with us, but that's sometimes hard to perceive as well. As a young man, I was an athlete growing up, and I loved football. I was a wide receiver, and I loved the team sports because one of the reasons I loved it was I loved the crowd. I had an ego. I liked to perform. And so I remember when I was playing football, I was a split end, and if the pass was going to be coming to me, I would sprint down that sideline and I would listen to the crowd, and the crowd screaming and yelling and all kinds of, I could hear the crowd, and all of a sudden I would hear this hush. And that's when I knew the ball was in the air. Just for a moment, it's like, it's coming. Whoop, grab that ball. You know, sometimes I would catch it, get the glory. Sometimes I wouldn't. But I loved the glory days. One year, my coach, I also did track in the spring, and one year my coach, he said, you know, I think you should do cross country, because I was excelling in track, and so he thought it would be good to create some endurance in me. So I said, well, okay, I'll do cross country. And I went cross country, and I'm out there running, crying, all excited about it, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I'm running across golf courses and through forests on paths. My ankles are twisting. I'm hitting rocks and roots. And my chest is burning. My heart's pounding. My legs are aching. And there's nobody around. And I'm like, what am I doing this for? And I'm going. And the thing is that there was a crowd. They just weren't where I was. They were at the end. But I couldn't see it. And while I was out there by myself, I'm like, I was just so self-absorbed. And boy, do I respect long-distance runners. It takes a lot of personal, intestinal fortitude to stick to it. And I respect those that can do it alone. I can't. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. But I remember at cross country coming out of that forest and I could see across the field, there's a crowd there. Ooh, suddenly I got inspired. I started sprinting. I'm going, okay. And I passed several people many times to that finish line because I knew what I would receive. I would receive my friends and family going, wow, great job. I thrived on that. We have that. In eternity. In Hebrews, there's a part where they're talking about the Old Testament faithful. And they're talking about Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and all these saints that have come before us and were faithful and helped to give us examples of what we were, how we were to be. And let me read that, actually. I'm going to read that. This is a great image. This helps me a lot with my struggle, especially when I'm struggling alone. It says, therefore, talking about all these saints that went before us, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which is so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, and here's the kicker, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We have a crowd cheering for us. They're there waiting for us, watching our lives, hoping that we will make it. And we will, and we can. We put our faith in Christ. Focus on eternity. When I was preparing for this message, there was this podcast that I was listening to, and this pastor that he went down to Brazil to talk to this network of churches, and he was actually talking to all of the pastors. It was like 1,200 pastors, and at the end of it, he said, "You know, how many people do you have in your churches?" And they said, "About 350,000 people we reach." And he said, "Wow, that's amazing. How long has the network been in existence?" And he anticipated it 50, 60, 80 years, 18 years. 18 years. He said, well, how did you reach all these people? And again, he was expecting, oh, some big marketing campaign. He said, we teach eternity. He said that in the United States, people focus on about 70 to 80 years. We live our lives. We look for retirement. We try to prepare for about 80 years worth of life. leaving something for our kids, maybe helping our kids to have a better life. He said, we teach eternity. What would it be like if we all set our sights on eternity? How could we impact our city, our community, our families? Pretty amazing. So, clearly, Macbeth didn't know Jesus. So, instead of focusing on the immediate, focus on this. Revelation 21:4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be any more. The former things have passed away. God has placed eternity in your heart. Follow it. Live for eternity today. Thank you. Lord, Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for this time today that you would allow me, humble servant, to speak about the plan that you have for us, Lord. And as we go out this week and this month and we go into winter, Lord, that you would help us to have an eternal focus, Lord. That we would try to put our immediate focus aside and continue to look towards you and know that this is only a blip in the radar screen of what you have planned for us, the gloriousness that you have for us, Lord, Heavenly Father. Would you do that? Would you help us to do that and reach our community in that way? We love you. We're grateful for you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Would you stand with me as we wrap up? I just want to encourage you to process. Are you living for the weekend? You know, it's a holiday weekend, and you were looking forward to it. Guess what? It's gone like that. Or are you living for eternity, something much bigger, such much longer, something lasting? Are you living for yourself, or are you living for God and for his kingdom? If you would like prayer for yourself or anybody, if you're processing this stuff, we encourage you. We'll have some prayer team up here in the front. You're always welcome to contact us. As you go about enjoying the remainder of this weekend, I want to encourage you to also be enjoying eternity and invest for what lasts. Thank you for coming. Make sure you greet one another on the way out. And families, don't forget to stop by the Flex Room for lots of fun and activities. God bless you.